Hell fucking yeah.
That worked.
Baby, I love you. This worked. Thank you very much.
Yeah, bro.
You go enjoy your time. I will film this intro for the podcast. He just said I cry. This is my second take, but today has been a really long day in particular because I feel like I don't usually get this stressed that often, so I need to take a breath. What I was just doing here with Aaron was trying to figure out why none of our SD cards that we use for our podcast recording were not working. We had to erase everything, clear everything out a couple different ways, and then figure out that we had to reformat it. So hopefully this is still recording. If not, I might just have to give up on this thing. I'm so upset. So today we actually did attempt to film a new podcast, a monthly update, a recap on our Spain trip, my trip home to Calgary, just, you know, all the updates from the last month. And we also just realized today that our last episode didn't go out. Like, the last episode that did go out was early March. Aaron recalled us, you know, talking about having another episode come out, and it was already scheduled to go. And my stupidness forgot to actually schedule it. Like, it was already in the platform that we use, and I guess I just never chose a date and a time, so it never went out. And neither one of us noticed it until today. Like, it must have just slipped our minds because we had so much going on in our lives lately that, to be honest, this was kind of the last thing that we were thinking about. So that was frustrating. Like, shit, that episode didn't go out. Now we have an extra one. Also, while we were doing the monthly recap, I looked at the recorder and realized I saw all zeros at the top, meaning nothing was recording and there was no timestamp on anything. I realized, oh my God, the dishwasher, the fridge. I realized that I forgot to hit record, but what I actually think happened was there's something wrong with our SD card. It maxed out in space. I didn't know that it maxed out. So I don't know how long we were talking for until I realized it just wasn't recording. I looked at Aaron. I was like, this thing isn't recording. Aaron just took off his headphones and just walked away. And just, I don't blame him. But yeah, two things I realized today related to the podcast that I just completely messed up on. And honestly, this monthly recap podcast that we were doing actually sounded really great. And I was loving it. So at some point next week, we're going to have to do it again. So the plan for this week is you're getting a little intro from me. You're going to get the episode that you guys were supposed to get mid-March today, the day you're listening to this, Thursday. Next week, we will make sure we have our monthly recap out and we will try and do our best to retell all the stories and our experiences of what we recorded today. Yeah, on top of that, I got my lettuce grow machine today because I'm really excited about growing my own veggies and herbs inside in my apartment. And I can't seem to get anything right on this thing. Like, I can't get the pH water right. I had to build this whole thing, take it all down, like fill it, dump the water, refill it. I was stressed about the pH meter. I don't know what it's called, honestly, at this point. I don't care. The thing that measures the pH on your water was also just not working because I couldn't figure out how to put the batteries in it. And I was freaking out trying to get Aaron to pick me up things so that I could test the pH of this water so I could get my plants in because I didn't want them to die because we're going to Cape Breton this weekend. Thankfully, Aaron came home and he rescued me and he got the batteries working, but still didn't, nothing fixed the issue of our pH. So I'm going to have to go to the garden store tomorrow and get a pH upper to bring it up so I can put these plants in, leave for the weekend to Cape Breton, have a relaxing weekend, and then come back and hopefully not be traveling all over again. Although we do have a very busy weekend next weekend and the weekend after that. And then I think we have a break. So I'm basically going on an 8-week stint of no weekends at home or to myself. I'm just out and about traveling and being in a bunch of different places. I'm like slowly burning down, but I'm fine. So yeah, Aaron's not in this intro right now because he just needs to relax and sit on the couch. He's literally right in front of me. I just don't think he has the energy for it. I don't blame him. So I'm just trying to pull through because of all my mistakes. Yeah, you guys just enjoy the episode. Bye. Hi, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Filters podcast. I'm your co-host, Lizzie.
And I'm Aaron.
In today's podcast, we're going to be going through some hypothetical questions and situations on parenting, what we would do, how we would raise our future kids, as well as talking a little bit about our childhood and how our parents raised us and how that's shaped us into who we are today. Yeah, it's just going to be like an easy episode. I put together like a list of 15 questions. I think you sorted through a little bit of them.
Yeah, and I think it'll be kind of interesting because I feel like we had pretty different childhoods and probably some different ideas on how we would handle these situations as parents.
First question is, this was like the first thing that came up to me when I was writing the list, is how long would you wait for our kids to have fast food? What age would you allow them to eat fast food?
Honestly, probably the first, I think I would keep my kids from having fast food as long as we're home and able to make them food. And I don't even remember what age kids start eating.
How old were you when you started eating fast food? Do you remember?
As long as I can remember. But at what age do you start eating full real food? Is that when you're 3 years old or 5 years old? Or
I think it's like when you're over like, I don't know, like 12 months or something.
I'm going to say the first road trip we go on that we have children is the first time they're going to eat fast food.
Are you serious? Like fries?
Yeah. Oh my God. Probably sooner than that for fries.
Aaron. Ah, okay. How old were you? Okay. So you don't remember how old you were when you first started eating fast food.
I've been eating fast food since as long as I can remember.
Okay. For me, oh God. Like growing up in Korea, I don't even know what would really be considered fast food. They're like McDonald's, but my family, they're very healthy. We just ate a lot of homemade, authentic Korean food. And then moving here, I don't know. Honestly, it was so far and few between that my parents would let me have fast food. I would sneak it in if I would go out with my friends and stuff. I don't know. Maybe, no. I remember in grade three, my mom would bring me A&Ws for lunches. And it was like the best thing. And I would share all my fries and stuff with my friends. But okay, with our kids, oh God, Aaron, I want to wait till they're like 3 years old. Or 4 years old to give them fast food. Like if we're going on a road trip, we can pack them their food.
Okay, so basically the exact same answer I had.
Is it the same answer as you had?
Okay, you're not gonna feed a 6 month old fast food.
Absolutely
they wouldn't even be
not.
Able to. You need teeth to eat fast
no,
food.
I know, but even by the time that they're ready to eat food, I would wait even longer than that. I would honestly wait as long as I can to give in to the need of convenience.
Hopefully the kids don't have to spend a day with me at some point when mom's busy because they will be getting fast food. If I'm getting fast food, they can eat fast food.
Oh, okay. Next question. What would you do? Sorry, that was really loud.
It was very loud.
Next question. What would you do if your child got a C in elementary, junior high, and high school?
Okay.
Or just a bad grade. It doesn't have to be like a C. It could be a D.
So are we going to talk about what our parents would do or are we just going to talk about what we would do?
Let's do both. So what did your parents do when you would get a bad mark?
Fortunately for me and I guess most of my siblings, like we were always pretty good in school. But the one recollection, my parents are very strict but fair. So in grade, my sister was in grade 7, I was in grade 5 and she got, I don't know what grade she got. I don't know if she failed a French test or if she got a low mark on her report card in French. Mm-hmm. But my dad's methodology for nipping that in the butt quick was to take the internet away from us for an entire month. Little old grade 5 me getting all hundreds in school had the internet taken away because my sister failed a test.
This is your older sister too.
Yeah. So I learned very quickly that, yeah, you got to do a good job in school. What would I do if my kid came home with a bad mark? I don't know. I'd have to evaluate a lot of things. Do they need more time in school? Are they getting bad marks because they're really passionate about something else? Or is it because they're spending so much time on their phone or playing video games or something that they're getting a bad mark? So
yeah,
I think it would really depend on why they get a bad mark. And if it's just out of laziness, then I would punish them some sort of way. But mm-hmm.
Would you like take their devices and no TV, no video games, like spend more time doing homework?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fine line you have to walk because you don't want them to resent you. And if they're just, I don't know, like you tell me stories about when you were in junior high school, how you used to genuinely struggle with school. So,
well, not in high school, it's more so like elementary because I moved here when I was 9, so I was in grade 3, so obviously I was trying to learn English at the same time of doing everything. And so my personal experience, my mom, this was before my stepdad was around, but my mom was super strict. If I got a bad grade in school, she would be sitting there at the dinner table with me helping me do my homework, which was really nice. She was involved. And then, so yeah, I feel like it was not that big of a deal in elementary school, but it kind of was. And then in junior high, it was even more important because my mom was getting really stressed out about me going to high school. And then when I was in high school, it was fun. I got pretty much really good grades afterwards, but I definitely knew the repercussions of what it would be if I came home with a bad mark, because I would be grounded. I tell this often to Aaron, I would get grounded every other month or every other week. And it would be, in my opinion, about things that were like not that serious. And then sometimes it was serious, but that's what happened to me. So coming from that, I think if our kid got like a C in elementary school, I would do the same thing as you, like try and figure out why that is. Like I wouldn't be grounding them or anything. In junior high, like it comes more about, are you trying? Are you being lazy? Because you're going through like puberty and all these different things. And then in high school, if you're getting bad grades, like no going to birthday parties, no hanging out with your friends. You're home Monday to Friday doing homework, no TV, no video games, no cell phone. Taking that away, making sure you're getting enough sleep, making sure you're eating well. I would be that type of parent. I think you and I are slightly different that way.
Yeah, I think for me, I would definitely start setting benchmarks. It's okay. These are your grades. You have to start spending 10 hours a day, or 10 hours a day, imagine, 10 hours a week doing supplementary stuff to what you're doing in school. And then if their grades are still bad, then it's okay. Now I got to do 15 hours a week. And then if it's still bad, then I'd be like, okay, maybe you're more of a creative person and school, the generic school is not. Let's see you put that kind of effort into something you're passionate about and then see where we can go from there, because maybe school is not exactly the way to go.
Yeah, but, or get like a tutor or something. Like I had a tutor all throughout high school because my mom made me. Yeah.
Yeah. If you, what's that? Is it an Einstein quote or an Isaac Newton quote? If you try to get a fish to, if you give a fish the test of climbing a tree, then it's going to think it's an idiot or something. Yeah. I don't know, something along those lines. But
yeah, wouldn't like punish them to make them feel bad about themselves, but I would definitely make them aware of you're not well, like you need to effort into doing better, just because like you had really good grades growing up. So I feel like you didn't really struggle that much. But for me, like I found it really difficult to get good grades. I had to try super, super hard and spend way more time dedicated to studying for tests and stuff. Yeah, I would just try and figure out what they are actually good at. So if they're more creative, then we would lead into that and support them.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Third question, how long till we give our kid an iPad?
That is a tricky one. I guess as far as our parents go, like iPads didn't exist when we were growing up and being a kid.
When did you get your first cell phone? Do you remember?
I got my first cell phone in grade 7, or the summer between grade 6 and grade 7.
Same.
I think.
Yeah, I got it in grade 6 to grade 7. And it was like those flip phones with the full keyboard and the touch screen. But even then, it was still like the coolest thing.
Yeah, now I think these are two different questions, though. Cell phone versus iPad.
Yeah, iPad is like putting an iPad in front of a kid to distract them while you're like at dinner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would wait as long as I can for this. I feel like a lot of people say, I don't want to be an iPad parent. And then they come back and they're like, oh shit, I'm an iPad parent. I don't know. I just saw this video of a mom who like had all of these clips of her son before he got an iPad. He was like so happy, like very creative, like engaging, playing with his siblings and loved spending time outside. But the minute he got an iPad, it was like his temper was up. Like he was super, I don't know. There's something that iPads do to your brain in terms of a distraction. I think it's too much. I would wait as long as I can, but
yeah, I think you could say that for smartphones in general. And
but smartphones is
everyone,
different.
Not only just children, but
I know, even for us, but like cell phones are different. Like if they're in junior high and they're like in sports or they're in dance or doing music and we're not seeing them for a couple of hours, it'd be nice for me to know, are you good? Do you need anything? What time do you want me to come pick you up? But like iPad is different. Like I don't want to be, I don't know. We'll see. I think this is one of the things that like we won't really know until we actually have a kid of what kind of situation we are. Like maybe we have a kid who's not that temperamental and won't need a distraction like that.
Yeah, I think it really depends. Like I could see us, if we're going on a 4-hour road trip and our kid's just in the back of the car, then maybe I'd give them an iPad or something like that to keep them busy, because I don't know, what else are they going
to
do?
But there's ways to like self-play. Like I think there's like a method of like when you first have newborns or even kids who are growing up, of like you let them self-play to distract them, and like they can like, they keep themselves like entertained. And so I would like that. Like there's this influencer named Aspen Ovard. Do you ever remember me showing you her videos? Like she's blonde and anyways, whatever. She like lives in Utah and she has a bunch of kids, and she was at the beach and she made a video of how like her years of like not enforcing but like encouraging her kids to self-play had paid off, because they were at the beach and like her 1 or 2 year old was just like hanging out by itself, like with the sand, for an hour.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, it's not, if we have iPads in the house, let's say, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a shitty rainy day, or I don't know, a nice day, like I'm gonna tell my kid, go outside, go play in the puddles, go play in the snow, go yeah. play in the rain, go do whatever.
Be there the doing iPad. It.
And then if they want to have a hissy fit and cry, I'll just lock them in their room with nothing, and then it's
I'm not air.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not gonna lock them. I would spend time with them doing something like coloring or playing with Legos. Like, I wouldn't just let them do their own thing too if it was a shitty day.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, if we've got time to play with them, we go play with them and we entertain them and stuff. But mm-hmm. I think this is more, and what most iPad parents use it for, is when they are busy and they don't have time for their kid. What do they do with their kid?
Yeah.
Again, all of this stuff is very easy to say, but when you start getting into the specifics of it, it's, oh, yeah, it's pretty easy to just give them an iPad. But I don't want to do that. I agree. Was the question what age?
How long do we wait till we give our kid an iPad?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you're like, I don't know. I have no answer for this right now.
Yeah, I remember, at least for me, on long road trips, like, me and my sister had a portable DVD player that we would use to keep us busy. And
yeah,
I know that's a little different from an iPad, but it's not much different. Sometimes, I don't know. You got to use supplementation to help you get through the day as a parent, I think.
Yeah, but we grew up where there was no iPads, and we turned out just fine. And our parents made without, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess for me, the question is different between at home and out doing things.
Yeah.
If we're just at home, no, there's other stuff to do. Figure it out. Go have fun. Go use your imagination. Explore. That's what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It'd be naive of me to say I think that, yeah, I'm never going to give my kid an iPad. They'll for just sure. figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think that's as deep as we'll get with that until we have a kid and we'll figure out what we actually do. Question number 4. What would you say if your teenager wants to stay out past curfew, and what if they break curfew? So let's imagine them in high school, because I feel like this is when it's like more applicable.
Okay. First off, what kind of curfew would you establish for our children?
Oh, God, I don't know. It depends. Like, if they were in grade 11 and grade 12 and our curfew was like 12 or 1 and they wanted to break that, first of all, I didn't really have a curfew. I wasn't really allowed to stay out that late regardless, so it didn't really matter. But I think if I broke it, I would have been in so much trouble. I would have been grounded. My mom would have just called me 20 times to try and get me to come home. I don't know. But for me, what would I do? I'd be upset. I'd be like, why were you late? Were you dropping your friends off? Is that why? Were you out doing something bad? I would just ground them. Honestly, if they broke it the first time, I'd be like, okay, you have a month where you can't do anything related to your curfew. Then I'll give you the opportunity again to go out. And then if you break it, I'll be like, okay, you can't go out anymore. You don't understand the importance of a curfew and you're breaking our trust. And it's like dangerous and scary out there too, late at night. You don't know who's on the road, that sort of thing. But I'd be really strict with this one personally.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just probably wouldn't establish a curfew. Yeah, maybe on school nights, don't be out past 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh my God, definitely not. On a school night, I'd be like, you're home at 7 unless you've got sports.
Oh yeah, see, that was...
very different.
For me, I had a half-assed curfew. My curfew was technically 10, but like 4 days a week, I had basketball practice until 10 p.m. And then I would drive people home from basketball practice, so I wouldn't get home until 11. So then other days, I would just stay out past 11 and come back, whatever. But yeah, I think as long as our kids were honest with us, and I don't know.
It's okay if they're honest, but still if they're making up excuses like, oh, I wanted to go stop by and get food, or I wanted to drive 10 people. Like, you have to be like, no, my parents told me I have this curfew. Like, I can only drive 5 of you home. Like, or if they needed a ride, like, I would expect their parents to contact us to let us know ahead of time, or I would call them to be like, I just want to make sure, like,
yeah,
we have a curfew
people
with...
aren't doing that in high school. Like when I was in grade 11, I wasn't going to be like, if I said I'll drive these 10 people home, or 10 people want a drive home, like, I would just say, I don't think you and I as parents would be calling their parents being like, hey, go pick up your fucking...
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd just have a curfew established with our son or daughter. They've been coming home super late and we know that it's because they're dropping everyone off. We just wanted to make sure. I don't actually... yeah, that's a weird way to put it. I don't know. I just... if that was a consistent thing, it'd be fine. But I just also wouldn't want our kids out late so much that even though they'll be driving people home, like, I still... like, I care about my kid over other people's kids. So I want them home at a safe time, not super late on the roads and the highways. And if it means that they can only drive a couple of people home that live nearby, that's fine. But they can't, like, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah, okay. Differing opinion on this one. If, like, our kid says, okay, yeah, I'm going to stay at the party until, or if there's a party going on, I'm going to stay there until 12. Assuming they're not drinking, like, their plan was to come home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, I'm going to stay at the party till 12, and then I'll drive people home if they need to drive. And then they drive once at home, and then another group of friends calls them, picks them up, or says, pick me up. I'd be like, yeah, okay. I mean, I'll be asleep at home anyway at this point. So the next morning, my kid tells me that, I'm like, okay, yeah.
But you know me, job. Like, I would be the parent that'd be up until, like, our kid walked through the door. Like, you would be fully asleep.
I don't think that.
No, I would. Like, I'm even like that with you when you're out late at night at the bars and stuff. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with, like, you could get into conversation with other people on the street. Like, you never know when people are drunk at parties or downtown or whatever. But regardless, if our curfew for our kid was 1 o'clock and they were at a party and they were going to drive people home, I would expect them to be like, I have to be home at 1. Like, we got to go. If you guys want to ride, I'm taking you home. If not, I have to go. I think that it's a responsible thing to do, because then you get into people being like, oh, let's just stay a little later. Like, I'm just finishing this drink, or I'm talking to this girl, I'm talking to this guy. Like, no, your curfew's at 1. You want to drive people home. You leave that party at like 12:15, 12:30, drive everyone home, and then you come home for 1 o'clock.
And that's what we'll tell your mother. But for our future kids that are listening, drive your friends home.
Oh, God, yeah.
They probably could use the ride.
I know. Yeah, I feel like you will be the more lenient parent on this one for sure.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I hope my kid is a good person, and I trust my kid to know themselves and know their friends. And if they can help somebody get home, like,
mm-hmm.
My curfew is not as important as you being a good friend to your friends.
Right, but they also better know or respect the parents' rules of, if you keep breaking it, it's no go. You're going to be going to no parties, and then you can't even drive your friends home. So,
all right, if that happens, talk to me.
Yeah, okay. And then it'll be you, like, calming me down or whatever. Okay. Question number 5, what if our kids got in trouble for bullying? We got a call from the school, from the principal, from the teacher saying, hey, Hudson was bullying this person. I think we need to have a conversation. What would you do to a child?
I guess I have two very different mindsets on this. I have no way to say what my parents would have done, because I just never bullied people.
Yeah.
I would have to establish and have a good conversation with my child of if it was actually bullying or not. Like, I feel like there could be
some people out there saying that this person's bullying them and they're actually not, because, like, they're the ones actually being bullied. Like,
yeah, if you're just hanging out with your friends and, like, maybe you say something that's a little degrading and then they go run off and tell the principal or something, that's not bullying. That's you
being a stupid kid saying something that they shouldn't have. You know? Like, you're not actively bullying the person.
But if you're, like, if our kid's, like, beating up kids for their lunch money like, I don't know, making someone feel bad about something they can't control or, like, anything along those lines, like,
that would be an issue.
Yeah, that's some strict punishment. That is.
I feel like that's the only thing you're really strict on. That's something you wouldn't tolerate, knowing you.
Oh, yeah. No, not a chance.
What would you do?
Make them the most efficient chore doer of all time. They would, weeks on end, until they were begging, pleading to not do it.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Hopefully I'll have the farm at my disposal. I'll make them
work at the farm.
I'll make them dig shit. I'll make them, I don't know,
do hard work.
Real bullying, not tolerable.
Yeah.
Getting in trouble accidentally because maybe some kid's a bit of a, maybe I'm the bully, but.
No, I know what you mean. There's two different ends. If they're actually bullying, that's a problem. But if it was something like not harmful and someone just felt left out because they wanted to hang out with a group of people and, like, our kid didn't realize and they were part of that, that's also a good discussion to have, to be, like, more inclusive to other people and be really nice and friendly and invite people to hang out. But yeah, if our kid was, like, actually bullying someone, like you had said, no phone, no electronics, no curfew, absolutely, you're doing homework, you're home, you're contributing to every single chore, you're doing the dishes, I think regardless, even if our kid wasn't bullying, I would try and make our kid be, like, really active at home for responsibilities. But he'd be even more. And I'd be like, you better go off with your father to the farm and you're doing some work. Don't come to me asking. It'd be a really big problem. And they would for sure be grounded for a long time until they were better. And, like, I would write, like, an apology letter, be really apologetic and, like, genuinely mean it. Oh, God, I don't know. I hope our kid would never, ever bully. And I don't think we'd ever raise them to be like that. God, that'd be bad. I'd also just feel like shitty because I'm like, fuck, what did we do to make our kid do this? Like, holy crap.
Yeah, zero. I mean, it takes a village to raise a kid, but zero tolerance for bullying, more tolerance for snowflake perceived bullying, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely wouldn't. I think I could say for the both of us, you do not want to be your child if you were a bully.
Yeah.
You would be scared of us.
But I think a lot of bullies are typically bullies because they are bullied at home themselves or they haven't had the proper guidance. So I don't think it's an issue that we'll have to worry about.
But yeah.
If it does come down to it, watch out, kid.
Watch out. Okay, number six, personal privacy. Would you have access to your kid's password for phone, iPad, and up to what age? At what age would you be like, okay, I don't care. You can have your own privacy.
That's a great question.
My parents had access to all of my things till I was in grade 12. Like all the way until I was leaving the house, they had access to my phone anytime. Well, because I didn't own it, right? It was my parents who bought the phone. And growing up, I was like so hateful because I'm like, it's my privacy. But they're like, no, you can't text whoever you want. You can't call whoever you want. If we want to look at your phone and see what you're doing or where you're at, we have every right to. And if you don't like it, you just won't have it at all. Yeah, my parents were strict. I had no personal privacy.
So is that how you want to be with your kids?
No, I would... I don't know if I would want to know fully what's happening in our kids' phones at grade 11 or grade 12, but I also know that there's really great parents out there with really good sneaky kids. So honestly, yeah, I think as long as they're living under a roof, like I'm not going to go in your phone every week, but if I feel like you're not doing good in school, you're getting in trouble, or you're staying out late, I'm going to be like, give me your phone. Like I need to see what's happening. So it'd be like at certain times I would want to see what's happening, only if they were bad, only if they gave me a reason to not trust them.
I somewhat agree. I think I would give them like, okay, you have now messed up, show me you're going to change, or I am then going to start checking your phone. I'm then going to start,
yeah,
or you're just not going to have one. If you want to go buy one, pay for it yourself, go ahead, sure. But
yeah,
if we're paying for their phone plan and stuff, yeah, I don't know. I guess if you're living under my roof, you're living under my rules, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the way my parents did it. I proved to them that I was like a responsible human being. So they kind of trusted me basically with whatever. And I think as long as our children prove that they are smart, capable, genuinely caring human beings, then I'm not too worried about invading their privacy or what they're doing on their own free time or whatever. But yeah, if they start breaking curfew, if they start being late for work, or if their grades start slipping, then it's,
yeah,
I don't know if it's going to be a 3-strike rule, but I'll definitely give them a warning before I just go say, all right, give me your phone, who are you texting, what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, next one, should get an allowance.
Oh, define allowance.
Allowances, there's some parents who are like, here's $100 a month for you to go and spend or put into your savings, or do you get an allowance for doing certain things around the house?
Oh,
nothing, no free money.
Nothing's coming free in our house. It's,
yeah, I feel like for the both of us, we grew up always working for allowance or anything that we'd get from our parents. So like definitely nothing for free. And there were so many things I did that I obviously never got allowance for because like I lived in the house. I need to contribute and help out. And like, in hindsight, like my parents making me do my own laundry, taking out all the garbages every week, like doing all the things around the house, like it made me really responsible. So I think they were really helping me in the long run. But I feel like I would only really give our kids an allowance for going to work at the farm with you, like making money that way.
Yeah. And that's kind of a, I guess, specific situation for us where it's okay, we are going to have a thing where we can send our kids to go do a real job for real money. If they, I mean, not if they want to do that, they will be doing that. But that's how it was with me. Like before I went to the farm, my parents, like me and Morgan, would clean on Saturday mornings. We'd clean the entire house, Windex the windows, the mirrors, and dust on top of the shelves and everything. And then we'd get $4 for doing that, I think. I guess that was kind of like our allowance. But then, I don't know, by the time I was 7, I was working at the farm and I started at $4 an hour. But
little child labor.
Hey, but I was getting paid, and yeah, that was the rule until I was at least in grade 10 or something. It was, well, like I started $4 an hour, and half of everything I made, I had to save. And then, yeah, that basically continued on. I eventually got raises the older I got.
Yeah, you didn't stay at the $4 forever.
Yeah, the better worker I became. But
Yeah, that's true. Like, my jobs around the house was helping out with the garbages, like sometimes cleaning the bathrooms. And then I was always in charge of bagging up all the bottles to bring to the bottle depot. So that was always, that was the money that I would get. And it would be a lot. Like, sometimes I get $150 growing up and it was like good. But yeah, the allowance will be if they help out around the house maybe once in a while. Like, after a month, I'll be like, here you go, here's some money. Like, but it wouldn't be anything crazy.
Yeah, I think I'd establish like a baseline level of chores. Like, if we eat supper, like help with the dishes, like take the trash out, whatever you have to do. But
yeah,
if you do anything over and on top of that, then
if we're doing a huge garage clean, I'll give our kid like some extra money being like, thank you for helping, you know?
Yeah, that's, I guess, a token of appreciation for what they're doing. But as far as just a free allowance so our kids have some money, it's no, there's enough shit to do. Go do some work.
Yeah. Okay, let's speed through some of these questions. What would you do if a child drew all over the walls?
Depends how good it was.
Aaron.
No.
Well, you're gonna keep it? No.
I don't know. Probably establish a 3-strike rule. Yeah, if our kid's playing and they go draw all over the walls, I'm not gonna just come down and be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Like, you're crazy. If it's like a 3 or 4 year old kid.
Yeah. They don't know any better.
I'll be like, oh wow, it looks great, but do it on paper and stuff next time, please.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they did it again, I'd be like, all right, what did we talk about? And then it's okay, then whatever. But yeah, that's not a big one for me. I don't really care. Okay.
Yeah, I think if our child did that, I wouldn't be mad, because especially if they're young, they're not gonna know. Then I'd get them a nice big canvas, be like, how about we draw on here and then we'll do it with you. But if they do it again, like, obviously I would be upset probably. And I saw this mom online who was like explaining to her son like why you can't be doing that, and then they made it like an activity to cover up the paint together, so like the drawing, so they would paint over it together and I guess explain why it's bad but not be angry about it. And that's what I would do.
Yeah, you got to be careful, because if you're too angry, then you can discourage them from either a be willing to make mistakes, which is a big part of life and growing up, and then mm-hmm. B, maybe it's something that they would want to do and they're passionate about that would make them happy. So yeah, I think that's a fickle line, but I definitely wouldn't just like rage at them.
No, I wouldn't want to give them little baby trauma, which is sad. But okay, number 9, when can they start drinking? So like the legal age to drink here is what, 19 in Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
My parents. So I had my first ever glass of wine at dinner with my family when I was like 16. And this was like Christmas or someone's birthday. Like it was, and it was only a glass of wine. Like it would be never anything more because I couldn't handle it. So I think I would do the same thing for our kids. If just my parents' idea was like, if you drink at home in a safe environment that's controlled, where you can understand how your body reacts to it, the better and more responsible you will be. Instead of going out with your friends and drinking a shit ton and throwing up and getting really sick, I would teach them the responsibility of like, you can drink at home with the family in a safe place. Don't mix your alcohol, like all that kind of stuff, you know? So that when they do get older and they do go to parties and go to bars, they know their limits.
Yeah, I think this is another one for it depends on how good and trustworthy I perceive my child to be. Like, I don't know if it's hard. It's so hard to say, because especially in Cape Breton, like a lot of people start drinking in, I'm sure this is across Canada and the world, but a lot of people start sneaking drinks at like the junior high level or going into high school and stuff. And
yeah.
I just didn't really ever care to do that. So when it did come time for me to start drinking, I would just tell my parents like, yeah, I'm going to be out tonight. Going to stay at so-and-so's house. I'll let you know when I'm back. And they're like, yeah, okay. Don't drink and drive. Have fun.
If you need us, call us. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'd be pretty similar to that. If 80% of the kids in their class or 80% of their friends are going to this party and are going to be drinking, then it's, I'm not just going to be like, yeah, you don't have to. Don't listen to those people. You don't have to do that. But
yeah,
I don't know, don't underage drink, but
yeah, no, I don't know, I wouldn't feel comfortable going out and like drinking at parties unless, I don't know, it's really hard. Like it's so different when I'm thinking at home with us in a safe environment, like less than one drink, but when they're out, oh, I don't know, I feel like this is where I get like protective mom vibes, because kids do stupid shit when they're at parties. Like, you're probably making out with boys and girls and, like, doing bad shit that I don't want to know about. But, like, I do want to know. Because you and I were the kids doing that, you know, kind of growing up a little bit. So,
I don't know.
I hope they're just not the kids that are, like, interested in that until, like, grade 12.
Yeah. I just hope that our kids are good people and that they can figure that stuff out on their own, but maybe they can't. I feel like that's such a game time decision for me. The rest of them, I've been pretty confident. Yeah, this is how it's going to go. But for that, it's like, how are your grades? Are you like, are you going to work? Are you a good worker? Are you a nice person? Like, okay, then you're probably not going to go get drunk and destroy property or
be really
get the cops called on you or anything like that. You're probably just going to go have a few drinks with your friends, maybe get too fucked up, but hopefully you have good enough friends that they'll look after you, or I can come get you.
If our kid went out and got fucked up, for sure grounded. You went beyond your limits, not okay. You're going to have to rebuild my trust before you go to another party to drink. Still call me, because I'm not going to be mad in the moment, but I'll be mad at you the next day and get you in some trouble. Why are you looking at me like that?
No reason.
You want to be the parent that's cool and relaxed and be like, it's all right. We'll deal with your mother.
Not even that necessarily. I just...
They got to be in trouble. You cannot be so intoxicated at a party when you're underage and you... Oh, God. Oh, I think we just need to move on to the next question.
Yeah, I don't know. Big boy in the evening, big boy in the morning. That's what my parents told me.
Yeah. Also, like, they'll be working at the farm. It's eventually at that age, too. You worked Saturday morning, Sunday morning. So, like, you also knew if you got too fucked up and you didn't go to work, like, you'd be in shit. Like, you were like, I can't do that. Like, my parents will kill me.
Yeah, you know? That was always a non-negotiable for me. And like I said, big boy in the evening, big boy in the morning. It comes from my dad's mother, who's Dutch immigrant. It was, yeah, if you can do whatever you want in the night, like, you can go out, get drunk, get fucked up, do whatever you want. But you better be ready 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m. the next morning, even if it's a Saturday, Sunday, because you got to do some work. And if what you did last night's going to hamper your work, not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I spent quite a few hungover mornings at the farm, but...
But you always showed up.
I always showed up. I was never late.
Yeah.
Except the very last day I left for university, but whatever.
But other than that, you were very responsible and you knew, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that level of expectation we'd have with our kids, I think they would understand. Question number 10, when can they start dating? Boyfriend and girlfriend, going over to their boyfriend's house for a hangout after school.
This one I don't care about at all.
I was not allowed to have boyfriends or girlfriends. I mean, yeah. Like, at all until I was graduated. But I definitely did have boyfriends, like, in elementary school, junior high, and high school that my parents didn't know about.
Yeah. The first relationship my parents knew about was when I was in grade 8. And I hid it from them for 3 or 4 months. But then, I don't know, it was hard for me to go hang out with my girlfriend when I lived in the country and she lived in town. At some point, I needed to tell my parents because I needed to get a drive and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me...
You don't really care.
I don't care. They're going to do that stuff anyway.
I'd rather know about it.
Yeah, I'd rather know about it and get to meet the person that they're doing it with so that I can have a gauge on them.
Yeah, I would say elementary school, it's all just puppy love, so it doesn't actually mean anything. But once they're at the age where they're like kissing and holding hands and doing all that stuff, I would want to know about it because I actually want to have an open conversation with my kids about it. Like, I want to know... When they're kissing, I want to know when they're like getting ready to like maybe lose their virginity, because I want to be able to educate them on what to do, what to be safe on, right? Like, just as a parent, not as a girlfriend, but I'd want to know just so that like I'm prepared for what could happen. So yeah, junior high is fine, but if they're going to hang out anywhere, like I would probably be that mom of like, you're hanging out at my house, the doors are open, you guys can watch movies, you can sit on the couch together, but like, you're not going to be at our house alone, like, until maybe you're older.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think I'm the exact opposite. I want them to come over so that, again, I can meet them, get to know them, see if they're a good person, not a good person. And then I think if they're a good person, that do what you want. I don't care.
Aaron.
Be responsible. Raise responsible children and you should have no problem.
Are you going to give our son one day a talk?
Yes.
Good.
I'm going to wait a little longer than mine.
How old were you? I think I was like 14 or something when I got the talk.
Yeah, I was 8. Morgan was 10.
Oh my God. Wait till they're like in junior high or something.
Yeah, I was quite traumatized. Me and Morgan were in the back of Dad's pickup truck driving over to Sydney to pick up a part for the boat. And then on the way back, he's like, have you guys ever heard of the birds and the bees? It's like, maybe I'll give you the chicken and the rooster. And yeah, traumatized me, but... Whatever, it is what it is. I would definitely give my kids the talk at some point.
Yeah. Okay. 11 was, we already talked about this, but like the cell phone thing. Number 12, are they allowed to swear at home?
not like they would around their friends.
Absolutely not. I was not allowed to swear at home. Like, even if I said shit, like, I would, like, my parents would be like, Lizzie, don't say that.
Yeah, I just didn't swear at home. You know what I mean? Like, if I was, like, passionate, talking about something passionately, and I let a shit or a fuck slip out, then, like, my parents wouldn't say anything, but...
Oh, my parents would totally say something.
Like, they might have said something until I was, like, 17, 18, but I just also knew that, I don't know, that's not stuff you should be saying in front of your parents. Even now, I'll go home, and I might say the F word, or add shit in a sentence, and water off a duck's back, but then I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably, I would not be happy if they swore at home. And even if they let something slide, maybe grade 11 or 12. But even then I'm like, why are you swearing? Don't do that. That's especially when they're, if they're talking to us about anything too, if they're getting upset. Oh, you let something slip. Phone's gone.
Okay.
No, I'm serious, Aaron. They cannot talk back to us like
that. I'd comment on if they cursed or something, but I wouldn't be like, oh, you're grounded because you said the F word.
What would you do if, okay, I was like disciplining our kid and our kid was like, F you, mom. What would you do?
Totally different.
What would you do?
If
would you be like,
you were disciplining our kid and they said, F you, mom?
Yeah, what would you do?
That's where that Papa Bear comes out and he's, okay, now you want to know real pain? Not pain, sorry. Not pain.
Oh my God.
But you want to know.
Like being scared or whatever.
Real punishment, I guess. Like, I will take everything from you. You will not have a phone. You will not have friends. You will work until your hands are sore and you're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think our kid will, though.
No.
Yeah.
But it also depends on how crazy you're being.
Aaron.
Lizzie.
Okay, number 13 was like, what would you do if your kids talk back to you? If they want to go to party or stay up late and you were like, no, and they're like, F you, or like, this sucks, or I don't know. I wouldn't do anything other than ground them and be like, sorry, you can't do anything. You don't have a phone. You don't have TV. You can't hang out with your friends. So have fun being mad.
Yeah, definitely just depends on the kind of kickback they give us, I guess.
I mean, for me, like growing up in a Korean culture, like until the day you die, you never talk back to your elders. And if you like, you just would never. And I know it's very different here, like in North America. So like I'm in the middle. There's a fine line of even if you think your parents are wrong, do not talk back, right? There's a way to talk back to them in a respectful way, but not in a way where you're like swearing or.
Yeah, exactly. That's obviously totally different if you say.
But even if it was something small, in my mind, I'm like, don't talk back.
Yeah. What do you consider talking back? If I'm like, hey, Jimmy, you got to go do the dishes. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do the dishes. That's not talking back.
No, I'd be like, don't talk like that. I was like, you live in this house. You get food, you get shelter, you get everything. Like, do the dishes. It's a responsibility. Like, you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to learn how to do it at some point. Like, that's what I would do. I wouldn't be like freaking out being like, oh, your phone's gone because they said that. But if they made it a point to not listen to me and they were like playing video games and I'm like, go do the dishes and they didn't do it. And I said it again.
What if it was a game they couldn't pause? And they say, oh, Justin, my mom.
There's nothing. Why? It sounds like something you would have done. But no, if they were playing a game and I said, go do the dishes and I have to say one more time, there's no three strikes. It's like a two strike rule. If you don't do it, I'm going over to your Xbox, unplugging it, and putting it in my room, and you're going to do the dishes.
Our kid's playing Xbox, and then you say, Aaron, it's time to do the dishes. And they're like, oh, give me 10 minutes. I just got to finish this game.
Yeah. Okay, once in a while. That's fine. But if it's like every time I ask them to do something and they happen to be playing video games or on their phone or talking to someone on the phone, I would expect them to be like, sorry, guys, I gotta go. I'll talk to you later.
You obviously haven't played Fortnite or Call of Duty, but...
Listen, I was in that position of I would be doing things and my parents would ask me to do something and I hated it. I would be like, what in the world? Like, why can't you wait? And my parents had no tolerance for that. They were like, get your shit done. But so then now that I'm older, when I'm in situations like that, I'm just like, I know when there are certain things I have to do, the thing that I'm doing is not worth the me not doing something like the chore or the thing I need to do to be responsible. I don't know. What do you think? I feel like you have a slightly different perspective on this one.
Yeah, I'd say I'm definitely more of the mindset that you are. Like, yeah, if we say you got to do something, do it. But I guess I'm not like. I say jump, you say how high, and do it immediately sort of thing. It's okay, I told you to do this. I understand you are in the middle of doing something. I don't expect you to drop what you're doing to do what I told you to do. Mm-hmm. But you better not waste dick around and waste time and then not end up doing it, because then I'm like, okay, I asked you to do this.
Yeah. I hope that with them working at the farm and working with you, they would just naturally learn that, like, I mean, working at the farm, you can't dick around. Like, you have to get shit done. There's other people that are working there too. And I'd hope that would also reflect at home of what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. Cool.
Kate, 14, what age would you allow our kids to have piercings and tattoos?
Piercings and tattoos.
Earrings, not a problem. Oh, God. At least until they're 16 before they start talking to me about nose piercings, belly button piercings. Like, even then, like, I just have to, I'd honestly just hope that our kids wouldn't want that, because, I mean, who am I to say, like, I had all of those piercings, but, oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
Tattoos, 18. Like, 18.
Yeah, I agree, kind of 18 for tattoos. If they, like, I don't know, for instance, my little sister got a tattoo with my older sister and my mom, and she's only 16.
That's different.
So that's different. So I'm like, yeah, if you're going to do something like that, great.
Like, family thing, like, that's, like, more sentimental and it's special.
Or if, like, a friend died or something like that, and you want to get a more whatever kind of tattoo, but...
If you're going out and getting crazy tattoos, I would not let that happen.
Yeah, see, that's a whole realm I just don't understand at all. Like, I guess for my parents, for instance, my sister... older sister had, like, her eyebrow pierced and her nose pierced. I don't know. She had piercings. Yeah. And, like, my parents didn't really care too much. Maybe they did care and they just didn't say anything. But that is so out of my realm of knowledge. And
let me take care of this one with our kids.
Yeah, I'll leave that one to you.
Cool. What would you want to do? Okay, question number 15. We have a couple more left. What would you do if they wanted to quit a sport / activity or an instrument that they, like, started?
I mean, I'd have to figure out why. If it's just because they don't want to do it anymore because they want to play more video games, then
no.
Or give me something else that you can spend your time doing that will be productive, or, like, learning instruments and playing sports is, like, good for your mental health and physical health and stuff too. So
yeah,
I would be like, okay, you can quit, but you gotta tell me what you're going to do with that time instead. Because yeah, then I think that just makes her probably a lazy kid, if not. So I have no problem with it, because I don't know, they're probably going to start stuff when they're like 6-7 years old, and then by the time they're 14-15 they might realize, oh, this isn't really, I only did it because I was a kid, now I don't want to do it. But yeah, I think I would just encourage them to early on find out if they're passionate about something, so that they can then try things around. Like, I played 4 or 5 different sports before I ended up on soccer and basketball.
And you'd played in band when you were in school.
Yeah, and I always half wanted to quit band, but I'm realizing now, like, it was probably good for me. And I don't know, there's studies that show that learning an instrument or stuff like that is good for
your brain. It's like learning another language. Like, it helps with your brain development so much, especially when you start it at a young age. So, like, growing up, I played lacrosse for 4 or 5 years, and then I quit that because my mom was like, you need to focus more on school. And I was not happy about it because I really didn't want to quit, so it wasn't really my choice. But I started playing the piano when I was like 8 years old, and I played it all the way until I was in grade 12. I even taught for a couple of years, and I did all the years of rural conservatory. And looking back on it, like, I'm happy I did it, but in the moment I really hated playing piano for a majority of the years, because it was just, it's not easy sticking with something like that. But in hindsight, I would love for our kids, I would like all of them to at least have one instrument that they're playing for at least 5 years. We'll take them to lessons if it's guitar or drums or piano. If they want to do piano, I'll teach them at home. But with sports, I would love for them, boy or girl, to always be in swimming or gymnastics or golf, or, like, always have some sort of sport to do in the winter and summer. Just because in Cape Breton, like, there's long winters, so I'd want to make sure that they're still active and healthy. And
yeah, I agree 100%. And,
like, you take care of sports, I'll take care of the instruments.
Works for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it really depends. Like, it's a situational thing, but I definitely want our kids doing something. I want them to, you know, some sort of group or team environment sort of thing. So,
yeah. And, like, I think it's also so important for you to start something and really finish it. Like, a lot of people, like, will start an instrument and quit because it gets hard. Like, I want them to continue on, even if they don't like it, to put in the effort, because it will be worthwhile. Like, not just the mental aspect of it, but it can help you, like, socially and, like, growing up as an adult, the ability to learn how to, like, really pull through on something and even get through it when you don't want to is so important. Question number 16, you've already kind of answered this, but, like, when do they start working? So like the farm, they'll probably go work at the farm with you, like at whatever age, doing little things.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was. It was like, I don't know, even when I was like very young, my dad would like, if he had to go work on something, he'd take me to just mess around, play with things, or just keep myself busy. And then when I was like 3 and 4, I would go up and then I would do 10 minutes of work just mm-hmm. with other people. And then by the time I was 7, it was like, okay, now me and my sister are working together alone without adult supervision. And then as I got older, I was doing it by myself. And then, I think I would, very young age to get them started. But I don't think I would consider them a full-blown responsible worker until they're at least, I don't know, 10 or 11.
Responsible? 10 or, oh my God, Aaron, we grew up in such different worlds. Yeah, that's funny. But what if they didn't want to work at the farm?
That's fine, but any hours they would be working,
they better go get a job.
They're totally fine if they want to go get a different job, but you can't do that until you're 16, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Prior to that, if they don't want to be working, then they have to be either have to have found their passion and be working to hone and craft and perfect that craft, or you gotta, if you're not working, you're doing something else on those days.
Yeah, I never really worked until I was like 16, and I pretty much was like nannying like very consistently and babysitting from when I was 16, just because I grew up in a neighborhood where there was like a lot of younger kids and I took all the courses to do so. So I made like really good money doing that. Like I was making like $20 an hour when I was like 16 years old. And like essentially all of my summers, like there was 2 summers where I worked at the Stampede. Like my parents didn't really care about like the money making part. It was more so like they wanted me to go out and do something and work for someone else to learn that and what it requires of you. And I also taught piano when I was in grade 11 and grade 12 for all of my high school teachers' kids, which was really cool. But I really love that because I love working with kids. I feel like I have a knack for it. And yeah, with our kids, I don't care. If they're working at the farm and that's what they want to do, great, make money with dad. But if they don't want to do that, I would expect them to either do something around the house more than their basic chores to like actually make it worthwhile. And I'll pay them a salary. Like if I'm doing something at work and they want to be my assistant to help me clean up or do certain things with my work-related things, absolutely, I'll pay you. I'll teach you. I'll like help you learn a part of my business. But if not, yeah, I don't know. We're just not going to have lazy kids. They're going to be doing something.
Yeah, it's for at least say 10 hours a week, they are going to be doing some sort of structured, disciplined, energy focused on something that will improve their either life or, you know, be beneficial for them.
Yeah. Okay, last question. What do you do if they have a bad influence, like a friend?
What do I do if they have a bad influence friend?
My parents, if they recognized that I was hanging out with someone that they didn't like, they just would not let me hang out with them anymore.
Fair.
That's what my parents did, which sucked. Like, I was like, why do you not like them? You know, I thought my parents were being biased or in some other ways, and maybe they do know best and they can pick up on things that I can't. In hindsight, I think it was a good thing. Like people that I didn't end up hanging out with, I think was good for me in the long run, because I look back at them and I don't know what they're doing or whatever, but I don't know. If our kid was hanging out with someone that was like really bad, I'd be like, okay, maybe you don't hang out with that person anymore. Like, I don't think they're a good influence. I would talk to my kids about it instead of being like, no, you can't hang out with them. Like, I don't like them. You know, I would explain why. And maybe our kids will then start to realize, oh, I don't want to hang out with this person. Maybe mom is right. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to get my kids to explain to me like why they're a bad influence or why I think that they're a bad influence. And then if they realize that, yeah, okay, they're a bad influence because they're doing drugs and all this stuff, but they have a hard go and they don't have many friends, so
yeah,
I hang around with them because, you know, I think they need someone. Then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Like, you understand, like, you're the one that's going to influence them for the good, not they're going to influence you to the bad.
Yeah.
So I think that's a kind of important factor. Like, I don't know, but sometimes bad influence friends need the good influence friend to help them get through in life. So
that's so true.
And you know what?
What?
It doesn't always hurt having a bad influence friend either, because
okay,
I don't know, you don't want your kid to be a pussy. So sometimes they need someone to
like what help do you them
cross that line. Okay, maybe not.
Okay,
to that extent,
there's like certain things. Like maybe it is good to have a friend that's a little bit more wild, that's a little bit more like extroverted, will put you out of your comfort zone, that maybe like a parent wouldn't be necessarily comfortable with. But like my line is like alcohol and drugs. And if they're doing anything to vandalize or hurt other people, that's where I stop. And I'm like, absolutely fucking not. You are not hanging out with those kids, not under my roof. That is not what I've done to raise you. And I would hope that our kids have strong enough of a foundation and an understanding of who they are, even at a young age, of knowing right from wrong. So I think they would be able to pick up on that regardless. But yeah, I don't know. You're right. I guess it's not that bad to have like kind of a friend who's a little bit more naughty, a little bit more not in the line of things. But I don't really have experience in that because I just was not allowed to hang out with any of those.
Yeah, that's fair.
You had more freedom to hang out with.
Yeah, I definitely had more kind of influences. And yeah, I don't know. I'd be a very different person today if I didn't have some of those bad influences, or not even bad influences, but more so like influence people, friends that helped me just be like, oh my God, like somebody said we can't do that, so we can't do that. It's, no, you can't just listen to what everybody tells you. Go have fun, go do some stuff, but
yeah,
respect other people. If you're doing stuff that's fun, that's not getting anyone else in trouble or not ruining anyone else's days, then yeah, even if it's not necessarily allowed or if yeah, it's frowned upon, then have at her. Don't become a drug addict.
You know what though, like you think about it and you hear it a lot, parents who are really strict build very sneaky kids. And I was pretty much that. And I guess I just ended up finding my own ways to do some like bad things regardless. And I'm still fine now today. But yeah, maybe having your approach of being a little bit more open and kind of letting your kids figure it out and trust and just trusting them might be a better way to go. I would like to somewhere meet in the middle of what I went through and what you went through growing up and how our parents like raised us in that area. Yeah. I would talk to them about it, but I may not like fully cut off their... I may talk about it, but may not fully cut off their contact. But yeah, I don't know. I was pretty, like, when I think about it, I was such a, from the outside, I was a very put together, studious kid who did really well in school and did all of these things to be involved. But some of my friends know I was doing stuff behind the scenes of finding ways to go to parties or finding ways to hang out with boys, or I had covered that for so long. And so that's the last thing I'd want for our kids to do, is like, I don't want to not think I know my kid because they were hiding so many things from me. So I want to be like less strict so that they feel a little bit more open to like maybe getting caught or...
Yeah, no, I agree. Main goal is to raise a respectable, trustworthy kid. Easier said than done, I know. But yeah, I don't know. I hopefully... Like I said, my parents were strict but fair. So when they were strict, it was like, I have the fear of God. Like my parents are like, they can make my life or ruin my life. So as long as I knew, as long as I was good, a good human, then I had basically the freedom I wanted to. And I think that's how I would like to raise my kid as well.
Yeah. And I grew up with parents who were like strict, but I would say more often than not, not fair. But I think they were doing that for a reason, because it made me realize that like life isn't fair and there's a lot of things that you will go through that you'll have to work really hard at to be better at and improve yourself on. So like on the other hand, like I think that was also a pretty good way of raising me, because I think my parents have done a really great job and I'm really happy with who I am and like kind of where I am in my life. But yeah, I want to raise kids who are responsible, very kind and respectful, but also like can be humans that we're just proud of and like hardworking. Just, I think everything that you and I were growing up and how we are today is, I'd want a copy and paste of that. But who knows, maybe we'll get like a very introverted kid or crazy extroverted kid that we don't know how to handle, and maybe 10 years come back to this podcast and we'll be making an episode and having a meltdown, who knows.
Yeah, and obviously we're saying a lot of stuff that I think almost every parent would want their kid to be like, but
yeah,
who knows? We'll see if we're able to actually achieve our goals.
I know. I'm in that phase of my life where, like, I really want kids and I want to be a young mom and, like, be in that stage of life. But, guys, we're not.
We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Okay, thank you for joining in on this week's podcast. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Any last words you want to say to anybody in the podcast?
No, thank you to everyone for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate 5 stars, listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts. I think that's it.
We will see you guys when we're back from Spain with your trip update.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.